Blog Talk Radio. Glory to God. Give praise to the King. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on, put your hands together. Let's bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you.
International Institution. I'm Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, and yes, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we choose to rejoice and to be glad in it. We'd like to welcome our radio audience, as well as our students and those around the world that have joined us to in the study of mission and evangelism. evangelism. Well, we're excited about what God is about to do on tonight. We thank God for the Word of God, for the Word of God brings clarity, gives us knowledge. It gives us that understanding. It opens up our eyes and our ears. It brings illumination to us. And I would like to say today, in a day in which we live, we need clarity. We need the illumination of God's Word. We need the Word of God to change our lives. So today, we want to get you into the mindset that we're in an epidemic. We're in a crisis. We're living in the time of deception, and we have many people that are reluctant to do the will of the Father. But we're getting ready. We're getting ready to go before the Lord in prayer. And I pray, God, that all the students and all of our advisors and all of those that are listening, that they too will help us as we go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you and we praise thy name. We thank you, Father, for the great and for the mighty things that you have done. We thank you, dear God, for the great and mighty things that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, Father, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And thy word have we hid in our heart, that we will not sin against thee. Father, we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for all of the students. We thank, Father, for all those that are online, especially, God, we thank you for all of our advisors. And, Father, God, we ask you, Lord, even now, Lord, to keep them, Father, God, in perfect peace. And, God, we say that we keep you, that you'll keep us in perfect peace, whose mind that is stayed upon thee. Father, we ask you, Lord, God, in the name of Jesus, keep us this day and this hour, God, that we would do the will of the Father. And for this, we will bless and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We would like to, for you tonight, to turn with us into the book of Jonah. That's in the Old Testament. The class tonight, we want to talk about the Word of God. No, we're not going to be talking about what happened, per se, on yesterday or 5 years ago, and just maybe we will. But we specifically want to talk about the Word of God. We want you to get that illumination of the Word of God. We want you to get that desire. We want you to get that passion for the Word of God that will cause souls to be saved and lives to be changed. Well, in the first chapter of Jonah, it reads, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come before me. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down unto it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. For the Lord sent out a great wind unto the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. The mariners were afraid, cried every man to his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship unto the sea to lighten it on them. But Jonah was gone down into the side of the ship. He lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest you, O sleeper? Arise, fall upon your God, if it be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said, everyone to his fellow, Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause but evil is come upon us. So they cast a lot, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Again, in that seventh verse, and they said, everyone to his fellows, come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray you, for whose cause this evil is upon us. And what is your occupation? From where and from where come you? What is your country? And of what people are you? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, that God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, saying to him, why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do to you, that the sea may be calm to us? For the sea wroth and was temperate. And he said unto them, take me up, cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men roared hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wroth and was temperate against them. Therefore, they cried to the Lord and said, we beseech you, O Lord, we beseech you, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. But you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from it raging. We would like to begin our conversation tonight about a man that God had trusted to do his will. And I want you to actually think about, what have God called you to do? What have God trusted you to do that you was reluctant to do it, that you felt that it was unnecessary for you to do it? What is it that God have put before you that you decided that you were not going to do it? When we look at the book of Jonah, it's a short book, but yet a powerful book in the Bible, and it let us know that this man of God, and he was a man of God, he was a prophet of God, that God had trusted him to go to the Ninevites and to cry against them because of their sinful ways. Even when we began to talk about this tonight, I don't want you to just to think about Jonah, but I want you to think about yourself. I want you to think about those that God has sent to do his will, but yet, for some reason, they decided that it wasn't for them and they weren't going to do it, and for the reason that Jonah did not go, or for whatever reason they may have had, that they thought it was good enough for them not to go. Well, we need to look closely at this. We need to see what God is saying to us. We see this man, God's vessel. He was a prophet of God. And his assignment was to go to Nineveh and to cry against them because the people were wicked. Now, do you not understand that in the day, this day and this time, in 2014, there are many people in the United States and on foreign soil have resisted the will of a father. There are many that don't see that their soul is lost. Many that don't see that this is actually as if it's a epidemic, is that we're in a crisis, and that many are being deceived, and that many is reluctant to go. And when I say reluctant, that means, and that shows us what we're going to be talking about tonight, all of the above, because of the fact that Jonah was reluctant to go to do the will of a father. He didn't want to go. So he decided, when God told him to go, he decided that, no, in other words, he was saying, and a lot of this I'm going to be paraphrasing so you can understand, he decided that I'm going to not go. I'm going to go into another direction. I'm going to pay my fare, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to be at peace, and I'm going to take a ship, and I'm going to go, just like he was going on a vacation, because he got into the ship. He paid his fare. He found a place of comfort. He laid down in a place that he felt was a place for him to rest. This man of God went fast asleep. How many people that we see today that are in a sleeping position? They have closed their eyes. They have ignored what is all around them. You know what? When we think of an epidemic in the natural, we think of something that's affecting many individuals at some time or another, and something that spreads from one person to another, and something that's extremely prevalent. Well, sin is, when we look at sin, it is rapid in our nation, in our country, in America. And we should not close our eyes or get in a comfortable position because of the fact that we don't care that the people, they're in sin and they're in transgression, so therefore we turn our heart away from them. Instead of having compassion, we close our eyes and we are disobedient and we just won't go. Even in a crisis, we don't sometimes move. And when we see that a person is there, that they can be lost, when we don't move when we see that the people's life is in jeopardy. Now, Jonah, he got into this ship. He paid his fare. And one of the dangerous things that he did, that he went from the presence, he was trying to run from the presence of the Lord. I believe it's a dangerous thing. It's a great thing when you're in the presence of the Lord. But when you're trying to run from the presence of the Lord. But what he decided to do, it wasn't in God's plan. But God was not going to let him carry out the plan, his plan, and live in comfort, and to be able to go somewhere in another direction instead of his direction, and to have it his way. God was not going to do this. But the man of God, the prophet of God, he found this place that he laid there. He went fast asleep. But the people that was on the ship, I want you to go with me tonight, and we're going to be going to Evangelist William. And I know that God has given her a word for the night concerning to what we're speaking of as she listening to what we are saying about Jonah. So therefore, he was not even aware as he laid there asleep, like sleeping at the wheel like many people are. And when you're sleeping at the wheel, you can put not only yourself in jeopardy, but you just put other people's lives in jeopardy as well. So there came a storm, and there was a great tempest in the sea. And the mariner, they was afraid because they could not, and I'm quite sure they was experienced men, but when you're dealing with disobedience, And when God trying to get his man, and when God is trying to let them know, the man of God know, and also it was for the benefit of them too, because they had somebody on that ship that resisting God and was trying to run from the presence of God. But there was a like a storm, and the waves and the sea, how it rolled, and there was a problem with the shipmaster because of the fact that they could not control the tempest. They could not control that ship. They didn't know what to do. So the shipmaster, he decided that he had found Jonah, and he told Jonah, he said, "What meaneth you, O sleeper?" He said, "Arise and call upon your God." So he knew it was a critical time. Jonah paid his fare, and I guess he didn't think, well, I don't have anything to do with this. You know, I paid my fare, and so it's up to you to get this ship where it's supposed to be going. But no, the shipmaster had him and those that was on there to get up. He especially told Jonah, because he was the one that was sleeping, to rise, to get up and call upon your God. And that God would think upon us that we perish not. And they said, what, everyone to another, his fellow, come, let us cast lots. They began to pray. Then they decided they're going to cast lot. And the lot, when you read verse 7, the lot fell on Jonah. And they knew that Jonah was the problem for what was happening. And you know what? As I go through here, because I would like to go to Evangelist William, when the lot fell on him, the men, you know, you can imagine when you get on a ship that many times they don't ask you where you came from. And they don't ask you what your occupation is. And they don't really ask you to tell them about yourself. But these men, they wanted to know more about Jonah and what was happening. Why was this happening? Why was this, the lot fell on him, so they know he was the problem. And Jonah began to let them know who he was. He told them he was a Hebrew and that he feared the Lord, the God of heaven. And so we have to think about it sometimes. Even when we say we fear the Lord, God of heaven, when we lose that fear to begin to do things our own way, and to have things our own way instead of doing it God's way. If he would have, he said that he feared God. And I believe to a certain extent that he did. But I'm saying to you today that sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, students, sometimes that we can, even as being men and women of God, we lose the fear in our heart of God. And we began to live according to our own righteousness, but not according to the righteousness of God, which is by faith. God wasn't sending him to Nineveh just to be sending him there. There were thousands of people that lied, that was on the line, and a thousands of people that depended on him going and warning the people. And that's what God wanted him to go. That's what the evangelist does. That's what the prophet does. That's what the a ambassador and a soul winner, a fisherman does. You go and tell others about Christ. And so his position should be God's position, that he should have been in a hurry. And sometimes we try to delay the plan of God, and we try to succumb to our own ideology as to what we're going to do or what we're not going to do when people are in a crisis. I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to go to Evangelist William. and she's going to take the next five to 7 minutes, and she's going to talk to you about what God has given her, about what we are talking about on tonight. Evangelist Pondalia William, welcome to Jehovah Jireh International Institution.
Good afternoon, Dr. McCoy, and everyone under the sound of my voice. Blessings upon you, and God bless you everywhere. And I thank God, amen, for Jehovah Jireh and for Blog Talk Radio. But truly, it is a blessing. It is another communication, another way, another means of reaching souls, as well as preparing people to go forth and do the work of the Lord. Again, I thank God for Dr. McCoy, who's such a blessing to not only her students, but those that have ever come in contact with her, because she's about her Father's business. I thank God for this subject that she's on. This is an awesome topic. Jonah. Jonah is a perfect example of what happens when we are not obedient unto God. You know, first of all, I just want to thank God for those of you that have a hunger for the Word of God. And even as we started this class out several weeks ago, a few months ago, and we started out talking about how to be effective, how to share Jesus effectively, and personal evangelism, and talking about witnessing and going forth and telling somebody that it's time to be saved. It's time to seek the face of God. These are perilous times, and these are dangerous times, and perilous means dangerous. And these are times now like never before. It is closer to the coming of Christ than it ever has been. And for that reason, we have got to be about our Father's business. And in talking about Jonah being a very good example, as we already heard, Dr. McCoy brought out how God trusted Jonah to do his will. But as you know, as you heard the story when she read it, and some of us are already familiar with it, that Jonah was reluctant in being obedient to God. And not only was Jonah reluctant, but Jonah tried to do more than that. Jonah tried to take a detour. Jonah tried to flee the presence of the Lord. And how many know there is no way, it is not possible to flee the presence of the Lord? And as we read the Word of God, and as we saw how Jonah was commissioned, the very first thing Jonah was commissioned. God told Jonah to arise and go to Nineveh. You know, God did not beat around the bush. He told him, you know, just like it was. He says, I want you to go to Nineveh, Jonah. And why? God told him why he wanted him to go to Nineveh. Because God said their wickedness had come up before him. And because the wickedness of the people had come up before God, just as it is now, the same thing is happening today. The wickedness of these people have went up before God, and God has commissioned us. We are Jonahs and Peters and Paul, and we are disciples of Christ. We are mouthpiece for God. As the word of God came to Jonah and told him, I want you to go to Nineveh because their wickedness have come up before me. You know what Jonah did. Being reluctant, Jonah took that detour and he tried to flee the presence of God. And you know the story, how he went down in the ship, and how, you know, long story short, and Dr. McCoy already read the chapter. I don't want to waste time and go back over that. But what we got to realize is no matter what or where you try to go, no matter what you try to do to take a detour, to avoid the presence of God, it is not possible. Those men did everything in their power to keep from throwing Jonah overboard. The Bible says they even roared really hard. They rowed the boat. They tried to bring the ship to dry land. But the more they rowed, the rougher the wind got and the storm and the waves, letting them know that, hey, this thing, this is God. This is the Lord's doing. And you cannot flee from the presence of the Lord. So when they, as Dr. McCoy brought out already, when they said, what's happening? Why is this happening to us? And they began to cast lots. You know the story. The lot fell on Jonah. And then they went to Jonah, and the first thing they wanted to know is, tell us who you are and where did you come from? And, you know, to make a long story short, when God sent us forth to do his work, and that's what this class is all about. That's what this mission is all about. And I tell you, I just love the Lord because he's not only the God of a second chance. He's a God of many chances. And he have given us a work to do. We have a mandate to pull souls from the hellfire. And I just believe that every one of us have certain souls that have been assigned to us. That person you have not seen in many years, you just happen to run up into them in the store. That's not an accident. That person that's going through pure chaos, it's not an accident that they ran into you. And because you bumped up into them, that was for God's purpose, not your purpose, not our purpose. Anytime the Lord sends somebody across our path, he always opened the door for us to minister to them, for us to let them know what thus saith the Lord. We should not have to go down in the belly of the well like many of our sons and some even daughters or young men. They have to get locked up in jail before they can hear the voice of the Lord. So it is with my prison ministry. A lot of the young men testified and they said, I had to get locked up in order to hear God's voice, in order to come to these prayer services and these worship services. I had to come to jail, and that's what God has to do to some of us. You may not get locked up, but sometimes you get stopped up. Sometimes you get laid up on your back. You might even stump your big toe. But I just read in the Bible where the Bible says God chasing those that he loved. And then the Bible says, be zealous and repent. And we're just like Jonah if we don't go forth and witness and spread this gospel. We got to do what thus saith the Lord. Now, you know the story, how God always has a prepared place, a prepared substance, something prepared, like he had the great fish prepared for Jonah. God has, the Bible says Jesus Christ went away to prepare a place for us. And where he is, he said, we will be there also. But knowing heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And now that we are prepared, we have got to prepare the others. Let's not be like Jonah. Let's not take a detour. Let's not try to take the shortcut. But we've got to obey God. Back over to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Evangelist Williams. We thank God for those comments. We thank God for that encouragement. We thank God for that word, because truly we have to hear what God is saying in these last days. And sometimes we're very judgmental about other people, but then we have to be also look at our own selves. You know, when we look at Jonah, we see a prophet of God, a man of God, and we have to tell it like it is, because it is what it is. Yes, student, it is what it is. That could have been you. That could have been me. And that was you. And that was me. And that was so many people that may have been reluctant to do the will of the Father. And when we see that it depended upon thousands and thousands of people's lives was in the balance on Jonah doing what God had told him. He told Jonah that he knew that Nineveh was a great place. It was a great city. And the word let us know that there were more than 60,000 persons that they could not discern between evil, their right hand and their left. So it was important for Jonah to wake them up, to alert them, to let them know it's a crisis. to let them know that you've been deceived and that you've been walking in unrighteousness. It's time for you to wake, because if you don't wake up, there's something that's about to happen to you. In 40 days, God is going to destroy Nineveh. And we know today that the word let us know that we don't know the day or the hour that Christ is coming. But the word let us know that he's coming like a thief and a robber. A thief and a robber come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus Christ came that we can have life and that we can have it more abundantly. Jonas had to cry loud. He had to go and cry against the wickedness to get their attention. Hey! You know, because of the fact that sometimes people are slumbering as they're doing today. They're taking their sleep. They have a lackadaisy attitude. They're forgetting that, are not realizing what a crisis it is and how the time is drawing near. And it was important. Anytime God gives us a task, give us commission, it's important. Anytime God tells us what to do, it's a reason why he's telling us what to do. So his commission, his assignment was to go and cry against Nineveh and let them know that God was going to destroy Nineveh in 40 days. So Evangelist Williams, she shared with you that after they thrown the man of God overboard, after they don't thrown him overboard, because that's the only way that the people that was on the board, they were going to be safe, because of the fact that if they kept dealing with and not letting this man throwing him overboard, they were going to continue to have to fight to stay alive. They was going to have to be uncomfortable, and I know fear was entering into their heart. They didn't want to throw him over. They didn't want to throw this man over. But they knew that it was going to be their lives if they didn't throw him over. So they prayed and they threw the man over. You know what? After they had threw the man of God over, Jonah, then the sea, it stopped raging. The tempest of the sea, it became normal. Why? Because Jonah was the problem. We have to ask ourselves sometimes, Father, are we the problem? Are we doing things that are disobedient to you? God, are we not in your will? Jonah was not in the will of the Father. So after they had thrown him over, you know the story. You know what God did. He had always prepared a fish, and Jonah was swallowed up in that fish. He had 3 days and three nights to think about what he didn't do and to repent of what he didn't do. And after being in a fish belly, you imagine what can be in a fish belly, all of the intake and all the things that the weeds and all the things that they have taken in, I'm quite sure it wasn't a comfortable place. And God didn't mean for it to be a comfortable place for him to be. Like he took his comfort on that ship. But God heard his prayer because he got sincere and he repented of what he did not do. And that's the way that we ought to be. You know, we ought to repent of the things that we have done, the things that we've said, the place that we didn't go, the charge that God has given us. And you know, it's not too late for us to do this, to get it right with God. Jonah got it right, so we have to get it right. And after he did, the fish vomited him out of his mouth, and therefore he went, even at a faster rate of speed, of going to Nineveh. And he began to cry against it as God had told him to. And as you know, the king, when he found out that God was getting ready to destroy that city, that's all we need, the one man. God didn't send 10 or 15 people or 1,000 people. That was his task. That was his assignment to go to Nineveh and to warn those people. And when they did, the king called for a fast. They began to fast. They began to sackcloth. They began to repent and pray. And when God seen the heart of the people, God repented of what he said that he was going to do unto them. It just took one man at that time, one obedient man to do the will of the Father. Do you not know it took one perfect Savior to bring salvation to all men? And it also took one Samaritan woman to bring a revival to her entire town. You remember that? It took just one Peter plus God to preach Pentecost and win 3,000 souls. It took just one Paul to write one-third of the New Testament and reach his world. It took just one Good Samaritan to save the traveler's life from sure death. It even took one Edison to bring electricity, electrical light, to the entire world. Listen to what I'm saying. It took just one Hitler to overrun all Europe. It took just one Churchill to stand up and say no further. It took one woman to strip prayer and the Bible from U.S. public school. One woman to take prayer out of the United States of America. Think about what I'm saying. It took just one Anita Bryant to defeat homosexuality, homosexual teachers in all Florida. It just takes one. It's time for us to stand our position, take our position that God has given us. Some may say, I can't do it. But you know what the Word of God said in Philippians 4:13? He said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. Somebody may say, well, I don't have the funds. I want to do it, but I don't have the funds in order to reach the lost. But did not the Word tell us in Philippians 4:19 that God should supply all of your needs? And then somebody may say, well, I'm too young. We talked about the other week about all the young people that lives have been destroyed and all the young people, how they have been deceived and how they've been deceptive, living in their deceptive type generation. How the crisis, things that are happening to them. But instead of saying, I'm too young, words say, let no one despise your age, but rather be an example. That's from 1 Timothy 4:12. And some may say, I'm not bold enough. The word says in Proverbs 28:1, the righteous saved are bold as a lion. We're getting ready to go to Evangelist William. Some may say, I'm just plain afraid. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power. Last one that I'm going to share at this time for right now is, I have no education. 1 Corinthians 2:16, we have the mind of Christ. The Bible says, ask and it shall be given. He said, the seek and ye shall find. He said, the knock and the door shall be open. He said, if we have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, say to the mountain, be thou moved. He said, it shall be moved. Evangelist Pondalia Williams.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy. I tell you, this is a powerful, this is a very, very powerful, powerful lesson. This is a powerful example when Dr. McCoy began to talk about Jonah and when she began to minister to us to let us know that we don't need an education, we don't need finances, you don't need to be proper, to use all the big words, not even correct English, if I might say. All you need to know is that Jesus saves. And the one thing we do know, that it's real and it's true because he saved us. And if we cannot think of nothing to use as an example, use your own personal testimony. I think about when that fish swallowed Jonah. And remember, as Dr. McCoy brought out, God prepared that fish just for Jonah. And remember, even before he prepared the fish, the Bible says God himself is the one that sent the great wind. God sent out a great wind into the sea. And the Bible says it was a mighty tempest in the sea. And so much so that the ship was like to be broken. And you know what it is. If you've ever, some of us have never been on ships before, but I just happened to have been on a cruise one time, and the waters got pretty rough, so much so until we, the people of God, began to pray like not before, and we knew that God was going to protect us, but that was not even to compare to the ship, which was probably much smaller, that Jonah was on. And when you think about the things that happen in our lives, some of us have become shipwrecked. Some of us have become complacent. Some of us have just got kind of comfortable to where we are. You know, I'm already saved, and I don't have to worry about nobody else. We cannot think like that. You know, God loves us so very much. He loves us with a special love. But the thing is, we've got to take that message to the next person. Excuse me. I think about when Dr. McCoy was reading about Jonah, I think about what happened when Jonah went into that belly of the whale. You think Jonah just cried and not said anything? The Bible said Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. You know, I told somebody the other day that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. But I also told somebody who says, well, God wouldn't send us to hell, would he? And I told them, I said, no, God don't send people to hell. I say that's the choice people make to go to hell. When you choose while you're yet alive and have your being, you make the choice of where you're going while you're on planet Earth. And your choice is either to serve God or to serve the devil. Well, naturally, it is the Lord's will for all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and to repent. You know, it is God's will for all men to be saved. But as you and I know, all men are not going to be saved. But at the end of the day, it is our job to carry the message, to make people know that God loves them, that God wants to save them, that God wants to deliver them, that God created the lake of fire for the devil and his angels. You know, a young lady just asked me today, she says, would God really put us into hell? And I explained to her again, people put themselves there because that's the choice that they make. And if I were you, if you just happen to be listening to Blog Talk, you know, there, many of us are saved and we've been born again, but somebody just might be listening that's not saved. I myself, before God saved me, I used to love to listen to gospel stations and gospel songs. For some reason, I thought that was just a comfort in my sin. Well, that was before I came into the knowledge of the truth. So there just might be somebody listening that don't know Jesus Christ. And, you know as well as I know that when we were sinners, some of us, we went to church just to get a Sunday feel good or whatever the reason was, or to show off a new outfit or whatever your reason was. But one day we walked into the house of the Lord and it was all over. We came out of darkness into the marvelous light. So I think about what Jonah did when he went into the belly of that. The Bible says he prayed unto his God. And when he prayed unto God, the Bible says he cried out of the reason of his affliction unto the Lord. And then not only did he cry out to God, but Jonah knew that God heard him out of the belly of hell. And that's just how he put it. He says, when I cried unto God out of my affliction unto the Lord, Jonah said, he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried Jonah. And he said, and thou heardest my voice, O Lord. And, you know, Jonah knew why he was in the belly of the whale. He knew he had been disobedient. He knew what God had told him to do. Like some of you, you know, sometimes God pull on us a knock on the door of our hearts to tell us, I want you to minister to that young lady that's in the line behind you. I want you to minister to the cashier, even though she's on a job, just say a little quick word, you know, like, if you're not saved, Jesus is soon to come. It's time to repent, you know, in your own words, you know. God might tell you to go to the corner store and he's going to prepare somebody there to be listening. You know, I was just sitting in the parking lot of the downtown courthouse and a young lady came out and she was boo-hoo crying, and that was my opportunity to tell her about Jesus. God opened so many doors for us to witness. And to make a long story short, when Jonah prayed unto the Lord and he knew God heard his cry, you know, Jonah made a vow to God. Jonah told God, I'm going to sacrifice unto you, O God, out of the voice of thanksgiving. I'm going to pay that I have vowed, is what Jonah said. And Jonah said unto the Lord, he said, salvation is of the Lord. And the Bible says, once Jonah prayed unto God and Jonah confessed, after Jonah repented, God caused the fish to vomit Jonah up, not into the water, but on dry land. And you know the story from there. Jonah went forth to do the work of the Lord. And as he went forth, as Dr. McCoy already brought out, Nineveh was a great city, but a city full of wickedness. And guess what? When Jonah obeyed God and went to Nineveh and told them what they had to do, the Bible says Nineveh repented of their wickedness and of their sins. And the Bible says that Nineveh believed God. And when they believed God, they proclaimed a fast. And because they proclaimed that fast and they got on one accord, God blessed them. So let me tell you, we can walk in the same blessing if we are obedient unto God. We just got to remember, Jonah had a commission, and Jonah tried to flee. God sent the storm, and Jonah cried unto God, and God delivered him. Same for those of us, if you are not saved, all you got to do is cry out, Lord, what must I do to be saved? Well, your answer is already here. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And again, as I said before, God chastens those that he loves. So if you just happen to be going through a storm, even those of us that are born again believers, we go through things. We go through trials and tribulations. We suffer some things. But the Bible says if we have to suffer, let it be for righteousness' sake. Let's remember God loves us so much until he allows certain things to come our way so that it will get our attention, just as he did for Jonah. And remember, as Dr. McCoy brought out, you don't need no money. You don't even need a college education, not even a high school education. All you need is Jesus. And just the faith as a grain of a mustard seed will get you over on the Lord's side. Back over to you, Dr. McCoy.
We thank Evangelist Williams for the word of the Lord, and we thank you, our students, our radio audience, people of the Most High God, for those that don't even at this point have a relationship with him and a desire, a relationship with him, even as God was concerned about those 120,000 people in at Nineveh whose lives was going to be drastically changed. They were going to be put to death if they did not repent of their sin, of their transgression. I'm telling you, people of God, that God loved you. And he loved the sinner, but he does not love the sin that we live in. The Bible let us know that we were all sinners. But God, our Lord and Savior, he gave his life that we could have a right to the tree of life. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the word of God says, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And there are many out there today, under the sound of my voice, that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, boys and girls, that we are in a crisis, that there is sin all around about us, but we don't have to be partakers. We could be ones that are that God is using as laborers to go into the harvest in order to go to places that have been full of deception, of people that are living a life that is far from God, like the Ninevites. And if these people, and they were very away from God and were sinners, so much sinners that Jonah didn't even want to go, because he knew if he go, that most likely God was going to repent of what he said he was going to do to them. You know, our heart has to be touched. God has to touch our deal with us, too, that no matter what people do, no matter what the lifestyle they live, that we got to have more compassion for them, and we got to love them the way that God loved them. Look at the thief on the cross. He believed in God, and he was able to be saved. And Christ told him the day that he was going to be with him in paradise. But Merv, if he had sense enough, if he was humble enough, he could, too, have asked God to remember him. And Christ would have remembered him, and he would have been saved. So what are you saying? I'm saying, no matter what you have done in your life, no matter what you're doing, don't let the enemy make you think that Christ does not want you, God is not going to accept you, God don't love you, God's so disappointed with you that he's not going to save you. No, the word of God says he came to seek and to save them that are lost. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we pray even now. Your word said, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God is raised from the dead, you said that we shall be saved. Father, those that are listening, those that are going to be listening to this portion of Jehovah Jireh International Institution, Mission and Evangelism, Lord, cause their heart to be touched. God, cause them immediately to be touched by your word, by you, by your spirit, by your anointing. God, turn a heart, the heart that has been hardened, unto a heart of flesh, that they will believe your word, that they will repent like the Ninevites did. And Father God, that they were saved that time, and they were not destroyed. Father, I ask this in the name of Jesus. Lord, heal bodies even now. God, touch those that have infirmities in their bodies. Father, touch them down from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet. And God, right now, thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for saving souls tonight. I thank you for healing bodies tonight. I thank you, Father, for healing mind, body, soul, and spirit. And for this, we will bless and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. We would like to thank our advisor and panelists tonight, Evangelist Pondalia Williams. We do honor the Lord for Dr. Jill Normiel, and also for all our students, no matter what city you may reside in. We would like to thank you for once again for tuning in to Jehovah Jireh International Institution on our live broadcast. May God bless and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May you be blessed in your going in, and in your coming out is our prayer.